So a few questions. What is God's purpose for you? That video has those words of God. I want to protect you. I want to be with you. I want to guide you. But what is God's specific purpose for you? Well, what is God's plan for His church and His people in the world within His purposes? I'm talking about an identity much bigger than one congregation. I'm talking about the church throughout the world, God's church. Well, we also then ask, well, what is God's plan for New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene as one congregation of His church in this West Shore area of Greater Harrisburg? I know in our title we're called Church of the Nazarene of New Cumberland, and we've tended to focus in the little borough of New Cumberland. I still try and figure out the difference between a borough and a township. I thought a borough was a four-legged animal. I don't know. But as the board was talking about it, our DS planted a thought, you know, our community is wherever we have people. Marysville to York Haven. From the river, clear out Mechanicsburg. What's God's plan for New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene? Some theologians, leaders of the Church of England, 1640, put together what was come known as the Westminster Catechism. And they just said right up front, the chief and highest end of man is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose. Sometimes we get busy in the little plans and how do I take care of it? Our chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. In the story that Dave read a little earlier, it's a story of Jesus after His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And in there he has these statements: those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Play with that one for a while. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Wow. So if our purpose is to honor God, and our call is to be followers of Jesus, God is calling us to a different perspective of life. If you want to serve me, you must follow me. Brings us back to purpose. For us as individuals, for God's church. Now, we know that God's methods and ways of fulfilling His covenant have changed many times. But something we note, His ultimate purpose is constant and steady. It never changes. God's purpose. Now, we know God's ultimate purpose. He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That's his overriding plan. He wants to draw everyone to himself. It's more than just heaven beyond this life. He's drawing everyone to himself to be his kingdom, dispersed and scattered throughout the world. He uses imagery like leaven in a loaf of bread, light in the middle of the world. God's ultimate purpose for us. You know, sometimes we think we've got a pretty good grasp of what God wants. Have you ever noticed that? How things ought to be and how things ought to work. Usually when I pull that together of how things ought to be and how to ought to work, do you know what I'm really thinking about? It's not you. It's not the world. It's all about. And I have a way of seeing if everyone do it my way, this world would be great. Right? But God is working in unique ways in our world. He's got his purpose. But as we look at the life of Jesus and this story about Jesus that Dave read for us a few moments ago, we begin to see something. Before we can understand his plans, we have to learn to obey. I was doing okay until I got to that one, didn't I? Obey. You've heard me talk about little Emma, 3 years old. Little Emma is starting to get her own mind as a 3-year-old. I've heard about terrible twos. I'm telling you, 3. Oh my word! I'm getting a new appreciation again for teachers of 3-year-olds. They're starting to catch on to the fact that they know what they want, and of course, their life centers around them. Oh my goodness! And trying to help redirect little Emma. Whew. There just isn't enough training in the world. It's a long... But you know what? My fear is some days I feel like that 3-year-old, even though I'm in my 60s now. Have you ever thought about that? See, we talk about human development in terms of early childhood, middle childhood, later childhood, adolescence, young adult or emerging adult, middle adult, mature adult. We have those. Have you ever noticed sometimes a 50-year-old acting like a 12-year-old? Or whatever age you're at, do you ever just sort of feel like, wait a minute, feel like I've been here before? See, sometimes we think we've got life put together and we know how things go. And in this story around Jesus, we see that. We see confusion of the crowd, confusion of the disciples. They have their own ideas of how things are going to work out. And in the middle of it, Jesus basically says, but you're going to have to serve me. That's not a new concept. God speaking through the ancient prophet Jeremiah said, if you obey me and do whatever I command you, then you will be my people, and I will be your God. I say this so I can fulfill my purpose through you in this world. So why do I keep emphasizing the way little Emma must do things in certain ways? Part of it, I want it more comfortable for me. That's obvious. But I also know I'm trying right? There's ways to hold a pen. There's ways to use a fork. There's ways to behave at the table. What are we doing? We're teaching. Are we just doing it so that things will be more easy for us? Well, that's a help. But see, we also know that as we work with little Emma,
We're helping her get ready to deal with the world at large. And sometimes we get focused on the rules of God. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't. And we get all uptight. But if we really understand it, God says, my laws are so that I can fulfill my purpose through you in the world. The purpose is not for everyone to follow the rules. The purpose is to fulfill God's plans. Jesus just put it this way: anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. Not just what I think that you think. Did you follow that one? Have you dealt with kids lately? You know what I'm talking about. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Well, sometimes we want to pull back that master stuff and we just want to be friends. Well, that is there in Scripture. But we're dealing with Jesus, who is Lord and Master. And so Jesus is calling us to obedience. Jesus' call today to us is a call to obedience to Him. If you don't get anything else, that's it right there. You don't need 20 points or 2 points. This is it. Jesus' call to us today is a call to obedience to Him. But when we do that, we understand that Jesus was living in obedience to the Father. Think of the purpose of Jesus' earthly ministry. Remember, He's come from heaven in that great family setting of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and He comes. And the purpose of Jesus what do I need to do here? Okay, you got me? Got it. Okay, thank you. Purpose of Jesus was to announce the kingdom of God in our world, to give His life as a ransom for our sins, to reveal God to us, to model what God designed us to be as human beings created in His image. But over and over, Jesus submitted Himself to obedience. We read it last week. Jesus became obedient to death. Jesus left heaven, becoming a servant, took form of human obedience. So let's talk about the role of obedience in the life of Jesus coming from this story. Jesus was obedient to the Father even to His death. Oh, His popularity was growing. Travelers from Greece wanted to meet Him. Jews wanted to join His revolution movement. There were the reports that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody wanted to be a part of this program. His disciples were dreaming of new opportunities and positions of power. Here's these Greek travelers come all this way and they want to see Jesus. We must be on our way. The word about who we are is spreading. Popularity But you see, Jesus' purpose in God's plan was very different from what the people understood. Jesus said, speaking of himself, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You see, the views of the people and the disciples was local and temporal. They're just like us. We see today, we see now. That's the way they were in that first century. But God was planning eternity. God was planning 2015, you and me, as he was carrying out. God was initiating a new movement of his kingdom in this world that would weave its way through all the kingdoms of this world and subversively transform the world. His first covenant people had already tried doing the kingdom thing through kings and palaces and temples. And how well did it work? He already tried government systems and political systems. How well did it work? God's design was this: I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't stop it. God was introducing a whole new way. Jesus said a new covenant. Even the ancient prophet Jeremiah, looking ahead at the Messiah, said, I will write a new covenant. Jesus, speaking at the Last Supper, said, this is a new covenant in my blood. It's a new way. God was introducing his kingdom, and it won't come around because of politics. It will become around because of his church interspersed throughout our world. My heart aches for brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are being persecuted, decapitated, but God is in the middle of it, and the terrorists aren't smart enough to realize they're not fighting church, they're not fighting religion system, they're fighting God, even though they call him Allah. They've missed it. They're fighting Jesus. Jesus was a part of that. And to do it, he had to become obedient even to death on a cross. But Jesus had to learn obedience. You ever think of that? If you've heard me once over these 30 years, you've heard many times. Jesus had to learn obedience. Even though Jesus was God's son, the scripture says he learned obedience because his mama was a great teacher and he went to some great synagogue schools. Right? That's not what the scripture... Now, that's what we think. If we can just send them all to the right schools, have the right teachers do it all right, then we... No. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. We deify that story of Jesus as approximately 12 years old at the temple, and he's busy doing that with mom and dad. We get after mom and dad for not taking clothes. Folks, he was being disrespectful to mom and dad, and what's the commandment about taking care of mom and dad? What is it? Honor. Jesus didn't do a very good job. All he was doing is get off of it. He became like one of us. He had to learn obedience. What are you learning through the things that go haywire in your life? Jesus learned obedience. He grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Obedience brought suffering. Jesus in this story. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? Huh. But this is the reason I came. So, Father, bring glory to your name. When I am lifted up, it's more than just people speaking highly. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up on a cross, there was something in the language that was going on, and the people knew what was being talked. It was the indirect way of people talking about crucifixion by Roman authorities. When I'm lifted up, then I will draw everyone to myself. Obedience brought suffering. It was last time I was obeying. What are you doing, Lord? Oh, maybe he's fulfilling his purpose. Maybe. Jesus defeated Satan through his obedience to God. See, Jesus was interesting in introducing a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Well, it really wasn't new, but it was new in its expression. You see, Jesus' enemy was not Judaism, temple authorities, or Roman authorities. The real enemy was Satan, the one who seduced Eve and Adam in Eden and continues to entice people away from the way of God, the Creator, today. The real battle was not Caiaphas. It was not Pilate. The real battle of that day was between Jesus, the Son of God, and Satan, the prince of this world. And the great battle had been engaged. Think of the greatest battle in history, folks. This was it right here. D-Day, V-Day, other kinds of days. That's it right here. Jesus understood and knew that. Jesus said the time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. The crucifixion was an epic battle between evil and righteousness. Satan was guiding the crucifixion process. All of the authorities in that picture were pawns in a much bigger battle and didn't even realize they were being used. Satan appeared to win as they nailed Jesus to the cross, buried him in a tomb. The Jews could go ahead with their Passover. The followers of Jesus could go ahead and run away. He didn't care. In that moment, Satan had won. But you see, the crucifixion and burial of Jesus opened the door to the absolute unexpected. Even though Jesus had been telling them this was going to happen, the resurrection, that is the turning point in history. The resurrection. That is the turning point in history. Not the death of Jesus, or the birth of Jesus. Not even his death. That was another martyrdom. The resurrection is the turning point. Satan was defeated in that very moment. It's Jesus' obedience that defeated Satan. You want to defeat Satan? Bark, howl, cry, declare unjust. Stay obedient to Father. That's how you do it. You only defeat Satan by staying obedient to God. Jesus obeyed, knowing the people could not understand. The people said to Jesus, "We understand from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway?" Jesus, I am. See, God's way was radically different from the common understanding and expectations of the people about Messiah and the kingdom of heaven. About the time you think you got the answers, be careful. Don't pay attention to the people with their charts. They sound nice, it looks great, and it sounds like someone's got it all put together. Ignore it. Get on your knees and then on your feet in obedience. God is working out His plan, His way in the future. And I just have this sneaking suspicion all of us are going to be radically surprised of how it works out. I just have a terrible time figuring out the ways of God some days. But obedience also is what made Jesus the perfect sacrifice for our sins. By the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why He is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Jesus became the perfect high priest. It's described in the letter to the Hebrews chapter 9, in the letter to the Romans chapter 3, and on and on and on throughout Scripture. It's there. Jesus, obedience by Jesus, opened the way to full citizenship in the kingdom of heaven for every woman, man, girl, and boy. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw everyone to myself. Oh, there's a sense in which we are lifting up Jesus through song and through prayer today. Through the giving of our tithes and offerings, we were lifting up Jesus. We were honoring Him. But the real lifting of Jesus was back on an old Roman cross. And the Scripture says, once made perfect, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation for all who have fun with Him. Obey. As the old song, trust and obey. There's just no other way. So obedience for Jesus. He was obedient to the Father even to death. He had to learn obedience. Oh, obedience brought suffering. Even when you do it perfect, just get ready. Your enemy is still out there. Jesus defeated Satan through His obedience. Jesus obeyed God even when people didn't understand Him. And some of His closest friends were saying, Jesus, that's not right. Obedience made Him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. The purpose of His coming was to give His life as a ransom for your sins and mine. Obedience by Jesus opened the way to citizenship in heaven for all who believe. We call it eternal life. I've begun calling it the life of heaven in us today by the Holy Spirit. So, what is God's specific purpose for you? What's God's plan for His church and His people in our world today? It's a hurting world. Oh, we talk about Mideast, but friends, within the streets of our cities and our towns, murder, injustice, tyranny, domestic abuse, even within our own nation, slavery of women and children. What's God's plan to be His church? What's God's plans for New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene? So let me ask you one other question today. Are you ready for it? What challenge and call of God is prompting struggle for you today. Something that's just sort of egging. Here's what Jesus said. Just put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you'll become the children of light. Or, grab that first slide, would you, Linda? Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Ben's chosen a song that says, above all. I invite you to join with him, sing it. But as you sing it, would you just be responding to God? It may be a time that you'd sort of disconnect from the singing and it's just you and God talk together. Just let it happen. Okay? Above all.